Okay, so that's Parshas Vayetze. So the pasuk says, "Vayikach lo Yaakov maker livne lach veluz vearmoin veifatzel boim tzolus levones machsuif halova nasher ala makluis." So says the pasuk that Yaakov Avinu made a tnai with Lavan, and the tnai with Lavan will be what behemoth will come, and the animals that you have are the animals with spots. And he made the story that he put vayasim, that he separated the animals, and he put a makel, he put a stick of various kinds of trees, and he actually, he actually took pieces out, he actually was able to remove the cover of the tree to reveal the white inside, to allow the animals to see something which is white, and therefore what happened was that the animals ve'atzik es ha'maklo sher pisel barehot b'shikasu es ha'mayim, and the animals actually gave birth to something similar to the maklo, somebody similar to the sticks. Now, the interesting part is that the Torah goes into the great detail how Yaakov Avinu had to go ahead and to be able to generate from himself the animals with the white spots by creating a stick, to creating a piece of wood which also had white spots. Now, what's the purpose of it? Right? We know that if we look at the Psukim, the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu had a dream and he saw that the animals, that there were malochim, angels coming and making the animals give birth for animals with spots. So the Ramban explains already, because the truth is that he tried doing it, but the Lavan would switch what the schar was, what the payment was, what the ages were at every time, what kind of spots. So therefore the makel, to have the stick and to have this idea that the animals saw the wood and that's how they gave birth, didn't work, because the Lavan would change it afterwards. So it was required to have a miracle. And Ramban says that afterwards he stopped doing it in any case. But the question is, why does the Torah tell you why there is such a need to go into such detail on something that actually didn't even work? Right? That he had to do with the makel lach to do it. So that's the question number one, meaning why, what was necessary, and why did the Torah have to go into great detail? And the Nez Osif Mesupak, is such a thing by nature help? Meaning the fact that the animals saw such a thing, it caused them to give birth? Meaning this some kind of a natural phenomenon that such a thing causes or exists? Even more than that, the Zohar says that this old Makloys, the story of the Makloys, says the Zohar, Notal inun makluis, he took those makluis, tefillin the resha. That's the soid and the foundation and the source of tefillin shebarosh. And the Tzfasemes explains that we, as we know, that the same idea of ma'ase always simalabonim, and ma'ase v'nishma, that an action precedes the commandment, that every action of the oves, they had to do something that generated the mitzvah. So says the Sfasemes, the action that generated the mitzvah was those makloys generated tefillin shebarosh. Why tefillin shebarosh has anything to do with the makloys? That generated the tefillin shebarosh, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Why should such a thing generate tefillin shebarosh? And what's the kesher of tefillin shebarosh, davka tefillin shebarosh, to those makloys? That is number one. Number two, on tefillin shebarosh, the mitzvah of tefillin shebarosh, The Rambam brings down Perek Gimel that the bracha that you make in Tefillin Shel Yad, Asher Kitchal B'Mitzvah Yisrael Tzivon L'Aniach Tefillin, and Al Mitzvah Tefillin is the mitzvah of Tefillin Shel Rosh. So Tefillin Shel Rosh is Al Mitzvah Tefillin. So says the Rabbi Chover, the Tzvat Nespaneach, that there is a difference. If you look in the Pasuk says on Tefillin Shel Yad, K'shartam Lo Yisrael Yadecha, so it's an active mitzvah. Shedkin Tefillin Shel Rosh is Vayula to Itofas Ben Yanecha, meaning that they should be on among your eye, between your eyes, which is the passive. So says the Tzavtas Paneach, that that's a different for Shirosh and Tefillin Shel Yad. Tefillin Shel Yad is a mitzvah to be mekasha, to put on the Tefillin Shel Yad. Tefillin Shel Rosh, the mitzvah is not to put on the Tefillin Shel Rosh, but to have the Tefillin Shel Rosh. And therefore, the mitzvahs, tefillin shaliyah, they make the bracha, asher kitshal mitzvahs, v'tzivanu le'aniach tefillin, and tefillin shalosh, you make all mitzvahs tefillin. Says nafkimina, we know that l'moshul l'tebes, if a person puts on the tefillin early, before the zman. So the halacha is, the Gemara Menachos says that you have to be memashmesh. You have to take the tefillin and you have to, when it comes the time, to move it around. Because you have to do a ma'aseh mitzvah to make a bracha. Tosfos says that's a sofek legabei talis, if that to apply. Says that tzavtas panech, that only applies with tefillin shel yad. But tefillin shel rosh, the mitzvah is to have it. So even if you put it beforehand, as long as you have it, the passive mitzvah, you make high the mitzvah. The same thing is what happened if a yisha or a cotton put on the tefillin shel yad to a person, he has to be mashmesh because there's no ma'ase mitzvah. He has to actually do something to make kind of mitzvah himself. Mashen kin tefillin shel rosh, the mitzvah is to have the tefillin shel rosh. So that's tefillin shel rosh. Tefillin shel rosh is different than tefillin shel yad. You don't have to do a ma'ase mitzvah, you just have to have it within yourself. First of all, why is tefillin shel rosh? Why is that in this case? Why is tefillin shel yad different tefillin shel rosh? Why is tefillin shel rosh is a mitzvah which is a passive mitzvah of having tefillin shel rosh? Why shouldn't the mitzvah of tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh be the same? Why is there a difference between the two? And then the Rambam writes that tefillin shel rosh, we know that a person has to touch it all the time to realize that he's carrying it. Kal v'chomer from tzitz. Mat tzitz has only one Shem Hashem. The Pasuk says ve'yam yitzcho tomit. That the Kohen had to make sure to remember he had the tzitz. The tefillin, shish bo kamas kohen, there are so many shemei shamayim, kol sheken, you need also to be aware and conscious that you have it. So the Rambam writes, gdushas shekdushosan, afilo yizokti erchai v'odam nemashmish b'tefillah kozman shem olof. A person has to be aware that he's wearing tefillin shel rosh. Shelo yasiach dai tumim afilo regecha shekdushosan gdoila migdushas tzitz. The Kedusha tefillin is greater than the Kedusha tzitz. Shatzitz in bo'el Hashem Echod. The tzitz is on Hashem Echod. V'ilu yesh ve'ilu, meaning tefillin, yesh bahem echad ve'esrim shem shel yud kei. 21 shemot it has. Zokei b'shel rosh, and they say it b'chmoysa b'shel yad. So the tefillin shel rosh has 21 haskoras. So says the Meshech Chochma, what's the significance of 21? Because 21 is the Shem Eke. And therefore, that's the chashivas of tefillin shel rosh. What does it mean tefillin shel rosh as a chashivas? Because there's 21 keneged Shem Eke. Who cares how many times? And why dafka keneged Shem Eke? Now, so that's the second question. And the third one, we know the halacha in the Mishnah in Bava Basra. Mishnah Bava Basra says, der haya shoykel lo ayin be'ayin. If a person does a mitzvah sesem in the Torah to make sure that the scale is even, that the scale is accurate. Now, but the halacha is, what happens if you measure the exact amount that somebody is buying from you? Noisen lo girumin. He has to add girumin. He has to add something to it. And the Gemara says, Echer lasor belach, a tenth, which the Gemara says is not a tenth, but is only 1% in liquids, and 1 over 200, meaning 0.5% in yovish. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, what's the source of such thing? That you have to add, you have to have a precise scale. But you sell a special measurement, you have to add something to sell it to or to give him more than what he's paying for. So the Gemara says, Omer Shlokish Domar Krov v'tzedek, Eifa Shlema v'tzedek, Tzedek Mishulcho v'tenlo, that you have to do. You have to give more than what he's giving from your own. And the Maram Shik says that even though we don't pass him today, that he has to be exactly this measure, not 1% belach and 0.5% beyovish, but a person when he sells, he has to give more. You have to give more than you're being paid for. You have to keep the scale accurate, but you can't sell the exact measurement. You have to give more than the exact measurement. Why is that such a thing? Why is it tzadik mishul chovetelo? Why is there such a mitzvah that you have to add to the weight and the scale? You have to, the halacha is that you have to actually tilt the scale. If you don't want to tilt the scale, you have to give always a little bit more. Why is there such a halacha of gerumin? To answer all of this, we have to go into a concept, I think that's very interesting, that Kahanama brings. We know that, first before that, the Gemara, the simple idea, why can't you sell exactly? Because the idea that you have to be precise in the scale, in measurements, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Midas Adin, which is precise. And the scale represents, not only is using Midas Adin, it represents Midas Adin. So it has to be accurate. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gives something to us, the Pasuk says, V'rav Chesed, and the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Mate Klape Chesed. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gives, even though he's precise Midas Adin, he makes sure that the Midas HaChesed overcomes, tilts. The majority is Midas HaChesed. So V'rav Chesed, Mate Klape Chesed. So therefore, when we emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we actually sell something very precise, it has to be very precise using a scale, and the scale has to be very precise, but the person has to give something more. Tzadik mishalcho v'tenloi. The chidush in that clash that we constantly have between Midas HaChesed and Midas Adin, Midas HaChesed has to overcome Midas Adin in every single situation. The question is, how does it overcome? How is that it overcomes? The idea, I think, that really how it overcomes is because every single thing is a derivative of Midas HaChesed. Midas HaChesed is always Olam Chesed Ibone. Midas Adin was created because and through Midas HaChesed. Midas HaChesed is the source and the beginning of everything. And by being beginning of everything, the Gemara in Brocha says like this, on the post, Griegzu Veltecheto, Yimur Milvavcha, Mishkach, Vavdo Nisel, the Gemara says the person should try to get the Yetzirah to fight against the Yetzirah Toiv. The Gemara says if you were able to overcome, fine. Otherwise, says the Gemara, you should go ahead and say Krishma. If you're able to overcome the Yetzirah, good. Otherwise, learn Torah. Otherwise, think about the day of death, Shenema Vedoy Musela. And the question is, why do you have to go through one steps? If think about Yom Misa, the day of death, is so powerful against the Yetzer Hara, why don't you go and jump straight for Yizkor Yom Misa? And the second thing, you tell me the Yom Misa is such a sure shot against the Yetzer Hara, you look at Esav, and you're like Lomos, by looking at Yom Misa, didn't bring you closer. But I think that here is a Yesoid Godel, and what Hanuman says in his book, Thinking Fast, Thinking Slow, with Tversky, that there is such a thing that they've done, that there is a concept called anchoring, and a concept which is an expansion of anchoring, which is called priming. We know that there is such a thing as anchoring. Anchoring, the idea is that when somebody gives you a bid in the house, gives you a price, he creates already a beginning, that he forces you automatically, because he's the first mover's advantage, that whatever you are going to say is going to be affected by his idea. If he tells you the house is $200,000, you're going to bargain $190, $180, but that $200,000 becomes for you almost like a given. That is anchoring, because the mind of the person is lazy. You take that as a given, and you use that as the foundation to build upon. But that didn't explain, because that makes sense, anchoring, because at least he could assume that the guy did his homework, and therefore he's making a price of $200,000. There is some veracity to it, and you take it at face value and you build upon it. But the scientists have come out to the conclusion that the mind does even something much more fundamental, something called priming. And priming, the idea is that once I have an image, that image or that idea anchors me in such a way that now every single thing will be affected by it, even in a form which is almost subconsciously. It becomes Tatoa Govar, meaning the first one creates an attraction that will affect everything thereafter. As an example, they did a Wheel of Fortune, and they rigged the Wheel of Fortune to show a low number, like a number 10 and number 65. And people would spin it. And then they asked the people, how many states you think, how many African states are there in the UN? Surprisingly enough, the people who found on the Wheel of Fortune the number 10, said the low number like 25. The people who rolled in the Wheel of Fortune and got 65, they said there are 85 African states. So in a second, you realize that the Wheel of Fortune has nothing to do. That doesn't give you an idea of how many states they are. But the image of the number, the low number, anchors the mind in such a way that it can be awful, causes you to think this way. They did another experiment. Judges in Germany who had been like judges for more than 15 years, and they had to go ahead and decide on the sentence of a woman that was caught shoplifting. So they gave to all the judges to roll the dice, and the dice was rigged that half of the time should come out should be either a very low number like number 3 or the number 6. Again, the same idea. The ones who rolled the dice, the number three, gave a sentence of like 5 years. And the ones who rolled the number six, they gave a sentence of 8 years. So again, the causes, it becomes you. Which means that's a pshat in the Gemara. If you look at Yom HaMisa alone, you don't know how to look at it. So you need to prime your mind to look at Yom HaMisa properly. But if you have Krishma in your mind, which is the concept of Yichud Hashem, and you have the concept of Schar Vayinash, and then you have Torah in your mind, which is the concept of something that transcends the physical, when you look at Yom HaMisa, your mind is already primed for such a thing. And the reason Kodesh Baruch Hu created priming is because exactly this. How is the Chesed misgaber on the Din? Because when a Kodesh Baruch Hu uses Midas HaDin, is already primed by Midas HaChesed, which precedes it. Midas HaDin comes informed as a result of Midas HaChesed, and therefore the Midas HaDin is primed already of how to see. The priming creates the glasses that from there on it colors everything you see in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Dafka, the world of priming, because the ultimate priming is Midas HaChesed, which colors Midas HaDin. And that's the concept of the Makhlis. What's the concept of the Makhlis? That once they saw the Makhlis, they gave birth to whatever they saw. Whatever they see, even the natural physical thing, Kodesh Baruch Hu made a mess, that whatever they did, it caused because of the Makhlis. And you know what was the message of the Makhlis? The idea that when you saw the Makhlis, you give birth to something with the Makhlis caused you. The Makhlis were the ultimate example of priming. And you know why is there such a thing as priming? So says the Zohar that when Yaakov Avinu took the Makhlis and he actually peeled them off, he showed that behind every makel, even though it could be white, it could be black, or it could be brown, underneath it, it's all white. Which means that underneath it is all chesed. Therefore, chesed has the ability to prime everything else, and therefore priming exists in this world. So Mimela, you realize that the koach of that what you see, whatever you see, whatever you do, it primes the next level. The idea of the makelis is the idea of Tefillin Shebarosh. Tefillin Shebarosh tells you that you have in the beginning to anchor and to prime your mind, because otherwise what you see will be already colored. So you have to color what you see with a priming effect before. What is the priming effect that does the same thing as the makelis? It's Tefillin Shebarosh. So Tefillin Shebarosh, if you look at Tefillin Shebarosh, is the passive mitzvah. What it does, it creates the context, it creates the background for anything you see. Basically, it's Bein Einechem. You go and you see through your tefillin. Mitzvahs Esher Shel Tefillin, it primes everything else, that everything else you see during the day, you see through the prism of tefillin. And merely could have some ways passive, because the idea of tefillin is creating a context, creating a priming to whatever you see during the day. And therefore, the source of tefillin Shorosh, Davka, is here. And that's the Shemekeh. What's the Shemekeh? Shemekeh is the Kavona Sabriya, the priming of the Briya is Midas HaChesed. Olam Chesed Ibane is the Olam HaKesser, which is the world which you've given the Chirin Shorachamim, which is the Olam HaKesser. So there are 21 Azkores who tell you that the Tefillin Shorosh is the priming of what you do and what you see. Once you see that that's the koch of Midas HaChesed, you can understand also that why Tefillin Shel Rosh only comes out of Shel Yad. The whole idea of Tefillin Shel Rosh is to allow the Tefillin Shel Yad to function. So whenever you have a Tefillin Shel Yad that you're going to do, you realize that you need the Tefillin Shel Rosh. So Tefillin Shel Rosh is the one that creates opportunity for Tefillin Shel Yad. But it's even more important, as we'll see later, the ultimate priming which creates this first mover's advantage is Dafka through a Maisa. Just seeing something, it's not as important as if you create that image. Therefore, the Tefillin Shel Rosh can only work if you have a Tefillin Shel Yad. Without the Tefillin Shel Yad, the Tefillin Shel Rosh doesn't work. Which, by the way, that's what the Sefer Chinuch says. Adam nifal lifi peulah yisav. The actions that you do, they prime. And from then on, that's how you're going to see it. So, Imela by Yaakov Avinu, this is the antidote. We see the Yaakov Avinu is the source of schar b'olam hazeh. We know that the Ktzoyis already asks, how can he be koined in animals which weren't here? Lechoyer, he doesn't have the animals yet. So, it's Dovah Shalom Baloylam. Says the Ktzoyis here is midin wages. His Tashlom Schar Socher. He made it as a condition of his wages. So it was some kind of an employment condition, the condition of his wages. Because it were the condition of his wages, it could be koined Dovah Shalom Baloylam. So you see, says the Ktzoyis, that here in this parsha is the concept of schar. which is even more. The Rambam says that we learn from here how far a poel has to be careful about working for somebody else. So this is Yaakov Avinu acquiring Olam Hazeh, which is the concept of Schar B'Olam Hazeh, which is the victory against Lavan. Lavan is the idea of Sheker B'Olam Hazeh, that he creates images that preclude you from Mevoyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Pasuk here has to tell you, Dafka be the concept of Schar, which is the struggle of Olam Hazeh, of how to overcome it, is using Midas HaChesed, which is the priming effect, to your benefit. So this becomes the Shorja Tfilin Shel Rosh, which is the preparation and the Achona for Tfilin Shel Yad. To allow Tfilin Shel Yad to proper functioning, you need the Tfilin Shel Rosh to realize that in this Avoda, you need a priming effect, which is the concept of the Makloes, and that's the Chiddush of our Parsha. Midas HaChesed is Rav Chesed because it primes Midas HaDin.